Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on your Tuesday morning. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Lots of Titans talk in the first couple hours. Let's get into the Predators here, as we are still waiting for a new GM. Barry Trotz announced over 3 months ago that he was going to step down as the Predators' general manager. Now, they said they wanted a new GM before the draft, which is still over a month away, but we've seen multiple GM openings come open and close. Toronto, New Jersey, and the Predators still out there looking for a GM. There's been a lot of speculation around why this is happening. Is the GM still with a playoff team? So the final playoff teams left, we can even include Buffalo, who was just eliminated. Montreal, Buffalo, Carolina, Vegas, Colorado. The name Darren York, the assistant GM with the Carolina Hurricanes, that was the speculation for a little bit last week. Elliot Friedman said he doesn't think that's the way that the Preds are leaning. It's just no one has any idea what's going on, which, it's a good thing, right? Means that the Preds are keeping everything in-house. Their lips are sealed, but it is, I don't want to use the word frustrating, but it's just like, man, when is this going to happen? The Predators said they wanted their line in the water first, and it's still sitting there 3 months later.
Maybe there's just a lot on the line. Maybe they put a little bit extra, put an extra worm on the line. Maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah, our fishing expert here.
I mean, look, they got a bait caster out there on the line. I don't know, but it is a bit of, like, the anticipation is starting to build up now. Like, when is this going to be announced? And hopefully, I would say within the next week or two, right? You have to.
Right, because there's a lot of decisions that have to be made for this new GM. And the draft isn't super important. We talked about this last week a little bit. The draft is going to be mostly dictated by the current scouting staff that you have.
Right.
Like, Barry Trotz may not be the one making the decision, but his current scouting staff is doing all of the work that it takes for the draft right now. And Jeff Kelty said in his press conference last week that whether he's the GM or not, and I believe he did get an interview, that he wants to stay on. So there's going to be continuity here of the Preds' current scouting staff and front office to whoever the next GM is. But you'd like to get that guy in the building because there are other decisions, whether that's around the roster or the coaching staff, that need to be made right now and need to be made leading up to the draft in order to put yourself in the best position heading into the offseason.
Yeah, because when you don't have all that set in stone, it now leaves your veterans and thinking, all right, what's the direction? You know,
right.
Like, again, this is, you know, from the I guess, closing of the season when you had all the players at a little press conference scrums with all the media. I think it was Stamkos that said, yeah, this team still wants to be competing for a playoff.
He said that's what they told him.
So if that's the case, then where is the GM in all this? Where is president of hockey operations in all this?
Yeah.
Like, this has to be set in stone, I'd say, within the next 2 weeks. It has to.
Well, and that's what it's like every week I think, all right, maybe this is the week that it's going to happen. And every week passes, and it's like, all right, when are we going to finally get this? I know that they could be waiting on somebody who is still in the playoffs. That's been the speculation. But I believe they're allowed to announce it in between rounds. So if it was Darren York, Carolina's been sitting around for a week and a half. Like, why could they not have made that announcement then? So maybe it's not him. We haven't really heard a ton of rumblings about anybody, Colorado or Vegas or Montreal. I know that some of the names that have been brought up, Bill Scott, who's with Edmonton, Florida, I'm blanking on the Florida assistant GM who was talked about as well. But
Brett Peterson.
Yeah, Brett Peterson. So there's been names out there that aren't in the playoffs anymore, and I'm glad to see that the Predators are searching far and wide. They're being thorough in this process, but eventually it feels like you have to make a decision. I want to say Elliot Friedman said about 3 weeks ago that they were entering the final stages. So maybe they do have somebody in place who's still in the playoffs. I just don't get why that announcement couldn't have been made in the last few days.
I don't know if it's like they want it to be done all at once like you're talking about. Like you want to have a coach and a GM at the same time.
Right.
Or is it they want everything to be announced all at once, like when the draft comes around, we want to announce the GM before that week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the route. I just don't understand the timeline with this.
Well, yeah, so like Barry Trotz, I guess, he's still technically the GM.
Sure.
Right? Yep. So there was not a GM opening. Like Barry Trotz is still sitting in that role until they find his successor. But you mentioned, I said to you during the break, last time the Preds made a leadership change, Barry Trotz came in, and for weeks there was speculation of, is he going to keep John Hines? Is John Hines going to be the head coach? And they announced one afternoon, John Hines is out, Andrew Brunette's in. They had already made the decision on who the head coach is. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but the Predators are an organization. It was Bill Haslam and others who sat up there at the press conference who said, the next time we talk to you is going to be when we're announcing the next general manager. Like, we are not going to make any public statements on this until it's done. I do wonder maybe if they found the new GM and the new GM said, I don't want Andrew Brunette as my coach. Maybe they're trying to do it all in one fell swoop and say, all right, we're going to do a coaching search behind the scenes too. We're going to find our guy and then we're going to announce both of you at the same time. It's unlikely. I doubt that's what's happening, but I'm just kind of grasping at straws for what could be taking so long in this process.
Yeah, because if that's the case, then I'm sure the veteran players like Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea, and even Roman Josi in this case, I know the Worlds are going on right now, so you have a lot of those players playing international.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're probably in a group text, texting with a bunch of front office members saying, hey, this is the direction we're doing, or even on a FaceTime call or something. They're trying to keep them in the loop.
Yeah.
Because the more and more that you let this linger, like the thing I posed earlier about the vets need to kind of know what's going on, that's what has to be taking place.
Yeah, it's so different from like the NFL, where when there's an NFL GM or coaching search going on, we know every time they interview somebody, and then as soon as the decision is made, it's put out there. The NHL is done behind closed doors. We have heard who's interviewed, but there's not like it's not like the Predators are putting out official announcements like the Titans do of we've completed an interview with X with Bill Scott.
Yeah.
It's like it's all going on behind the closed doors, and we have to wait and see what they're thinking. But I'm very confused at why we haven't heard more yet, because Elliot Friedman and these other reporters have been saying like they've had finalists. There was the report last week, which I'm not sure how reliable it was looking back now, of like they have somebody already locked in. Like that's the rumblings around the NHL. I'm surprised that we haven't got any kind of announcement or even just a report of here are the finalists. It's going to come from one of these three names or something like that.
Yeah, and maybe there's the guy they probably want to bring in. Maybe there's some criticism around him. I don't know. Like that's the thing you worry about as well.
Yeah.
To all this,
or maybe it's like we've discussed of like could it be the two person team of the director, the president of hockey operations, and the general manager? I don't know. This is all going on over at Bridgestone Arena, and they're having to work through this, but it's strange how long this has taken.
And that makes – you make a good point there, because if it is president of hockey operations and then like a general manager, and let's say the head coach is brought into this, where that GM and hockey ops don't want that head coach.
There's a lot of like trickle-down effect here.
Maybe that is why there is a little bit taking of a longer time period to get this all sorted out.
Right. Maybe the guy that they found who was going to be the GM, they were like, you know what, you're going to be our director, or I keep saying director, president of hockey operations, and now you can go hire your GM. Like, I don't know. We're going to find out at some point.
Yeah.
And it's I feel like it's going to be similar to the Barry Trotz announcement of I was driving in on that Monday morning and heard Robbie say it at like 8:45. I'm like, all right, well, got to throw the show out today. Every time I've been planning a show the last couple of weeks, I'm like, all right, I've got to be prepared. If There could be an announcement at any time, and we've got to just throw everything out the window.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your reaction on this. Got some texts on the text line. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's give away those tickets. We've got two tickets to the Sports Illustrated Resorts 250 at the Nashville Super Speedway on Saturday, May 30th. Be caller number two. Got to be quick. Caller number two at 615-737-1025. You'll win two tickets to the Sports Illustrated Resorts 250 at the Nashville Super Speedway again on May 30th. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Have I ever told you my favorite story about this song?
No, please invite me.
I went to, this was a while ago, maybe like a year ago, I went to Category 10, Luke Combs Bar. Old Wild Horse, yeah, on 2nd Avenue. And it's a line dancing bar, right? Like, there's always people in the middle. So we went up to the second deck, and we're just kind of watching. And they played that song. And, like, you know that song, right? Like,
yeah.
He hit that guardrail at half past three. Yeah. It's about his brother, I don't think it's a true story, but, like, his brother dying in a motorcycle accident. And they're just out there stomp clapping away and spinning and dancing, line dance. I'm like, you guys need to, like, screen these songs before you start line dancing to it. It's like, you want to do Chattahoochee or Fishing in the Dark? Great, go ahead. But they played that. I'm like, you guys, you clearly have never listened to the lyrics of this song.
No, it's more of the beat is what a lot of these DJs look for.
I was just laughing. I'm like, he hit that guardrail at half past three. I'm like, man, you guys just like listen a little bit.
Yeah, like play a little Mud on the Tires by Brad Paisley.
Right.
That would work.
Yeah, no. It worked. Like, I'm sure the dance was fun down there, but I'm like, just, I always laugh when I think of that. That's my immediate thought when I hear that song.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's something.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a sad song. Like, it's got a nice, like, melody to it. It's catchy, but it's a sad song. It is. We were talking about the Preds and what's holding up the GM search here. Wanted to get to your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chip from Mount Juliet says, Barry Trotz's input should be taken with a grain of salt. His input should be limited. Yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz has been such an integral part of the Predators organization for such a long time. And as Bill Haslam said, like, when people were asking of, do you trust Barry Trotz to handle the trade deadline knowing that he's on his way out? And he says, Barry will always do what's best for the Nashville Predators. I understand why people might say that of, you don't want just another one of Barry's guys taking over and continuing this. All right, it's Poile. He picked his guy, which was Barry, and Barry picked his guy, which was X. I get that you don't want that, but I also think Barry Trotz knows hockey, like just in general. Better head coach than he was a general manager. But I trust Barry Trotz, if he is involved in this, is going to do what he thinks is best for the team.
Again, not trying to bring Jalen Hurts back in this. Everybody's like, oh, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl quarterback. Barry Trotz, Stanley Cup winning coach.
I was at the parade.
Like, can we not overlook that? That is something that needs to be put into fact for all this. And also, too, like, going back to the David Poile era when he was finished with his time as a GM, he set Barry Trotz up in his era for success. Barry Trotz, in a roundabout way, obviously signs a few players here and there. But you look at the draft capital right now, it's slowly building. Like that pick the other night with Vegas and Anaheim, that's now what, a third?
It's a second, the Vegas one, yep.
Yeah, so like there is some draft capital here for the Preds. And again, they still have some young prospects that are developing. You got Ryan Ufko playing for Team USA right now. I think collected his first point yesterday. So Justus Ahonen had a win in that 6-2 win with Finland. So there are good things happening with these younger players in the Nashville Predators. Just imagine what the new GM and president of Hockey Ops, if that is the case, comes in and just does well with the draft.
Yeah, this is going to be a real – when they finally announce it, I am very interested to see what the reaction is. Because most of the candidates, you're just not going to know a ton about, right? Like, if it's Bill Scott or is it Bill Peterson? Brent Peterson. Like, if it's one of those guys, sure, you can look at what their organizations have done during their tenure. But they weren't the decision makers there. Yeah, they probably had input on some of those decisions. But for the most part, it's going to be about what's their personality, what's their leadership style, what is their view on your hockey team as it stands right now and the path that they want to take. you're not going to be able to get that based on their resume and what they've done in the past. It's going to be based on what they said in their interviews. So I'm not going to judge really anything that they do here. It's gonna come down to what that person is able to do over the next 3 to 5 years, right? Like, everybody wants to have the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, it's a good hire, it's a bad hire. Especially in a front office role, I just don't know how much you can actually glean from what they've done in the past if they've never done the job before. Like Tom Fitzgerald, different situation. He has been a GM before, and you can look at what he did in New Jersey and say, all right, that was a good decision, that was a bad decision. Maybe you can judge that hire more. But if it's an assistant GM who's never done the job before, like, I just don't, I can't make a judgment. It's going to be wait and see what his vision is for the Predators in the future.
Yeah, and to that point of, like, hockey ops and GM, like, with that 1-2 punch tandem, you wonder if there, I'm not saying if there's friction already, but, like, we don't know what the conversations are behind closed doors right now. If there is conversations of those two kind of butting heads with their roles,
yeah,
maybe that's another reason why we're having a little bit of friction here.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, Matthew in Nashville says, I like what y'all said. The holdup could be the potential new GM doesn't want to retain Andrew Burnett and some of the coaching staff. And I think maybe that's part of it, is they're sorting through that stuff too, of once you have the GM, the ownership and front office may push nudge the new GM in one direction or the other, but I really would think that the new GM is going to get a choice of whether he wants to keep Andrew Brunet or not. And maybe he said, yeah, I don't want to retain him, and they've started to open up what that might look like as a coaching search, instead of, all right, we're going to announce the new GM on May 19th or whatever it is. Then we're going to announce that Andrew Brunet won't be retained on May 23rd. And then we're going to announce a new head coach on June 5th. Like, maybe they want to shorten that timeline and be able to put it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what really needs to happen right now. Because, again, you make a good point with Jeff Kelty and the scouting department and the draft. None of that stuff's really going to change. This is more of what's happening for October, and that's what you really got to have your eyes set on.
Yeah, I mean, the new GM is going to be, and I'm sure the new GM has been scouting these players in the draft too, and has his opinions on, but it's not like he's overhauling the scouting department a month before the draft, right?
Yeah, not changing six positions on the staff.
Yes, the Preds scouts and the Preds front office are going to present the new GM with, hey, here's what we think of these guys. We're picking at 10. We like these three players. And maybe the new GM says, oh, yeah, I really like that guy out of your three. Here's another player that I really like that we could talk about. Like, that's how it's going to go. It's not going to be complete overhaul, we're bringing in the new GM's way right off the bat. Like, maybe that happens next year.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen for this year's draft.
And again, it reminds me a little bit of the Titans with what they did last offseason when they brought in a bunch of former GMs into their front office. I hope this is kind of the same trajectory the Preds are on, is grabbing guys that are well experienced in that certain job position. Like, if it is president of hockey ops, make sure it's somebody that can really do that job
well. Yeah.
And again, that's what the interview process is. Like, it's easy to say, but it just seems like they're bringing in more opinions into the room.
It is funny with like the Titans specifically. They went from the year with Carthon and Callahan in there, zero experience anywhere. Front office, coaching staff, nothing. And now you look 2 years later, you've got, yeah, Borgonzi's a first-time GM, but he's got Ziegler and McKenzie, who've both been GMs in his staff. Then on the football, the coaching staff, you've got Salo, who's been a head coach before. Dable, Bradley, Fossil's been an interim head coach. Like, it is funny, the pendulum just keeps on swinging. It's like, all right, we failed because they had no experience. Let's get all of the experience in the world. Maybe the Predators, and maybe that's a reason the Predators would go with a less experienced person and try and surround them with guys who have done it before and can be his wingmen, his advisors.
Yeah. And looking at the Poyle Trotz eras combined with all that, I kind of look at it from years stack on top of years, where like conversations are with the Titans right now with a bunch of veteran GMs in a roundabout way. I think with Poyle lining up things for Trotz lining things up for the next GM, President of Hockey Ops, I think it just is a long-winded way of saying all three of those things conglomerate into one.
Yeah, well, that's true. The Predators have never had to fire a GM.
Right.
They've just, you know, had it passed down from one person to the other. And we'll have to see what the Predators do with this GM search. We'll get to your phones coming up next. We will also wrap up the show looking ahead to baseball. The SEC tournament getting going in Hoover today. I believe it's already underway. Ole Miss put out a graphic that they are the first college baseball program ever to use an ABS challenge.
Whoop-de-doo. Ole Miss, they got to really just move that needle, don't they?
Yeah, there you go.
That's my Mississippi State coming out. I just can't help it.
Do you think any of the baseball players take basket weaving?
They could. Hey, I saw somebody tweet this, too, and I forget who it was. I want to give credit. Basket weaving's not easy.
It's not.
Right? Like,
oh, that was on AL.com. That was a great article,
yeah,
by the way.
Like, why are we acting like basket weaving is some easy thing? I couldn't weave a basket.
Did it in grade school.
I know weaving baskets isn't exactly like a career that you can go into, but, I mean.
You may be surprised.
There's some money into that.
It's not like they're taking advantage. I mean, I guess it is kind of arts and crafts, but I gotta say, like, I don't think advanced basket weaving sounds super easy. I wouldn't take advanced basket weaving.
You let the wood that you're weaving with, you let it sit in water for, I think, like 24 to 48 hours.
Oh.
Then the next day you use it while it's wet and you get a base. If you're trying to build like a little vase, you get a circular base that has holes in it. You go up and down, up and down. Once you do that, then you start weaving it where you have the humps and you keep going and going and going and going. And if you want it to be different colors, you stop at a certain level, you dip it in some food coloring or whatever it is, let it sit for about 12 hours, then you do your next round.
Were you a student athlete at Ole Miss?
No, I was a student athlete at St. Edward's down the street off Thompson Lane. So this is grade school. So the fact that we're doing grade school activities in college really goes to show you what the academic.
It's fair.
Like
I mean, at least it's a real class, unlike what North Carolina was doing for years, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll talk some SEC baseball later in the show as well. We got 30 minutes left. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Have I ever told you my favorite story about this song?
No. No, please enlighten me.
I went to, this was a while ago, maybe like a year ago, I went to Category 10, Luke Combs Bar.
Yeah, off Old Wild Horse,
Old Wild Horse, yeah, on 2nd Avenue. And it's a line dancing bar, right? Like, there's always people in the middle. So we went up to the second deck, and we're just kind of watching. And they played that song. And, like, you know that song, right? Like,
yeah.
He hit that guardrail at 3:30.
Yeah.
It's about his brother. I don't think it's a true story, but like his brother dying in a motorcycle accident. And they're just out there stomp clapping away and spinning and dancing, line dancing. I'm like, you guys need to like screen these songs before you start line dancing to it. It's like, you want to do Chattahoochee or Fishing in the Dark? Great, go ahead. But they played that. I'm like, you guys, you clearly have never listened to the lyrics of this song.
No, it's more of the beat is what a lot of these DJs look for.
I know. Like, I was just laughing. I'm like, he hit that guardrail at 3:30. I'm like, man, you guys just, like, listen a little bit.
Yeah, like, play a little Mud on the Tires by Brad Paisley.
Right.
That would work.
Yeah, no. It worked. Like, I'm sure the dance was fun down there, but I'm like, just, I always laugh when I think of that. That's my immediate thought when I hear that song.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's something.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a sad song. Like, it's got a nice like melody to it. It's catchy, but it's a sad song. It is. We were talking about the Preds and what's holding up the GM search here. Wanted to get to your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chip from Mount Juliet says Barry Trotz's input should be taken with a grain of salt. His input should be limited. Yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz has been such an integral part of the Predators organization for such a long time. And as Bill Haslam said, like when people were asking of, do you trust Barry Trotz to handle the trade deadline knowing that he's on his way out? And he says, Barry will always do what's best for the Nashville Predators. I understand why people might say that of, you don't want just another one of Barry's guys taking over and continuing this. All right, it's Poyle. He picked his guy, which was Barry, and Barry picked his guy, which was X. I get that you don't want that, but I also think Barry Trotz knows hockey, just in general. Better head coach than he was a general manager. But I trust Barry Trotz, if he is involved in this, is going to do what he thinks is best for the team.
Again, not trying to bring Jalen Hurts back in this. Everybody's like, oh, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl quarterback. Barry Trotz, Stanley Cup winning coach.
I was at the parade.
Like, can we not overlook that. That is something that needs to be put into factor.
Yeah.
This. And also, too, like going back to the David Poole era when he was finished with his time as a GM, he set Barry Trotz up in his era for success. Barry Trotz, in a roundabout way, obviously signs a few players here and there. But you look at the draft capital right now, it's slowly building. Like that pick the other night with Vegas and Anaheim, that's now what a
second, the Vegas one, yep.
Yeah, so like there is some draft capital here for the Preds. And again, they still have some young prospects that are developing. You got Ryan Ufko playing for Team USA right now. I think collected his first point yesterday. So Justus Annan had a win in that 6-2 win with Finland. So there are good things happening with these younger players in the Nashville Predators. Just imagine what the new GM and president of Hockey Ops, if that is the case, comes in and just does well with the draft.
Yeah, this is going to be a real – when they finally announce it, I am very interested to see what the reaction is. Because most of the candidates, you're just not going to know a ton about, right? Like, if it's Bill Scott or is it Bill Peterson? Brent Peterson. Like, if it's one of those guys, sure, you can look at what their organizations have done during their tenure. But they weren't the decision makers there. Yeah, they probably had input on some of those decisions. But for the most part, it's going to be about what's their personality, what's their leadership style, what is their view on your hockey team as it stands right now and the path that they want to take. You're not going to be able to get that based on their resume and what they've done in the past. It's going to be based on what they said in their interviews. So I'm not going to judge really anything that they do here. It's going to come down to what that person is able to do over the next 3 to 5 years, right? Like, everybody wants to have the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, it's a good hire, it's a bad hire. Especially in a front office role, I just don't know how much you can actually glean from what they've done in the past if they've never done the job before. Like Tom Fitzgerald, different situation. He has been a GM before, and you can look at what he did in New Jersey and say, all right, that was a good decision, that was a bad decision. Maybe you can judge that hire more. But if it's an assistant GM who's never done the job before, like, I just don't... I can't make a judgment. It's going to be wait and see what his vision is for the Predators in the future.
Yeah, and to that point of like Hockey Ops and GM, like with that 1-2 punch tandem, you wonder if there, I'm not saying if there's friction already, but like we don't know what the conversations are behind closed doors right now. If there is conversations of those two kind of butting heads with their roles,
yeah,
maybe that's another reason why we're having a little bit of friction here.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like Matthew in Nashville says, I like what y'all said. The holdup could be the potential new GM doesn't want to retain Andrew Brunette and some of the coaching staff. And I think maybe that's part of it, is they're sorting through that stuff too, of once you have the GM, the ownership and front office may push – nudge the new GM in one direction or the other, but I really would think that the new GM is going to get a choice of whether he wants to keep Andrew Brunette or not. And maybe he said, yeah, I don't want to retain him, and they've started to open up what that might look like as a coaching search instead of, all right, we're going to announce the new GM on May 19th or whatever it is. Then we're going to announce that Andrew Brunette won't be retained on May 23rd. And then we're going to announce a new head coach on June 5th. Like, maybe they want to shorten that timeline and be able to put it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what really needs to happen right now. Because, again, you make a good point with Jeff Kelty and the scouting department and the draft. None of that stuff's really going to change. This is more of what's happening for October. And that's what you really got to have your eyes set on.
Yeah. I mean, the new GM is going to be and I'm sure the new GM has been scouting these players in the draft too and has his opinions on – but it's not like he's overhauling the scouting department a month before the draft, right?
Yeah. Not changing six positions on the staff.
Yes. The Preds scouts and the Preds front office are going to present the new GM with, hey, here's what we think of these guys. We're picking at 10. We like these three players. And maybe the new GM says, oh, yeah, I really like that guy out of your three. Here's another player that I really like that we could talk about. Like, that's how it's going to go. It's not going to be complete overhaul, we're bringing in the new GM's way right off the bat. Like, maybe that happens next year.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen for this year's draft.
And again, it reminds me a little bit of the Titans with what they did last offseason when they brought in a bunch of former GMs into their front office. I hope this is kind of the same trajectory the Preds are on, is grabbing guys that are well-experienced in that certain job position. Like, if it is president of hockey ops, make sure it's somebody that can really do that job.
Yeah.
And again, that's what the interview process is. Like, it's easy to say, but It just seems like they're bringing in more opinions into the room.
It is funny with like the Titans specifically. They went from the year with Carthon and Callahan in there, zero experience anywhere. Front office, coaching staff, nothing. And now you look 2 years later, you've got, yeah, Borgonzi's a first-time GM, but he's got Ziegler and McKenzie, who've both been GMs in his staff. Then on the football, the coaching staff, you've got Salah, who's been a head coach before. Dable, Bradley, Fossil's been an interim head coach. Like, it is funny, the pendulum just keeps on swinging. It's like, all right, we failed because they had no experience. Let's get all of the experience in the world. Maybe the Predators... And maybe that's a reason the Predators would go with a less experienced person and try and surround them with guys who have done it before and can be his wingmen, his advisors.
Yeah. And looking at the Poyle Trotz eras combined with all that, I kind of look at it from years stack on top of years where like conversations are with the Titans around with a bunch of veteran GMs in a roundabout way. I think with Poyle lining up things for Trotz lining things up for the next GM, President Hockey Ops, I think it just is a long-winded way of saying all three of those things conglomerate into one.
Yeah, well, that's true. The Predators have never had to fire a GM.
Right.
They've just, you know, had it passed down from one person to the other. And we'll have to see what the Predators do with this GM search. We'll get to your phones coming up next. We will also wrap up the show looking ahead to baseball. The SEC tournament getting going in Hoover today. I believe it's already underway. Ole Miss put out a graphic that they are the first college baseball program ever to use an ABS challenge.
Whoop-de-doo. I mean, Ole Miss, they got to really just move that needle, don't they?
Yeah, there you go.
That's my Mississippi State coming out. I just can't help it.
Do you think any of the baseball players take basket weaving?
They could. Hey, I saw somebody tweet this, too, and I forget who it was. I want to give credit. Basket weaving's not easy.
It's not.
Right? Like,
oh, that was on AL.com. That was a great article,
yeah,
by the way.
Like, why are we acting like basket weaving is some easy thing? I couldn't weave a basket.
Did it in grade school.
I know weaving baskets isn't exactly like a career that you can go into, but, I mean...
You may be surprised.
There's some money into that.
It's not like they're taking advantage... I mean, I guess it is kind of arts and crafts, but... Gotta say, like, I don't think advanced basket weaving sounds super easy. I wouldn't take advanced basket weaving.
You let the wood that you're weaving with, you let it sit in water for, I think, like 24 to 48 hours.
Oh.
Then the next day you use it while it's wet and you get a base. If you're trying to build like a little vase, you get a circular base that has holes in it. You go up and down, up and down. Once you do that, then you start weaving it where you have the humps and then you keep going and going and going and going. And if you want it to be different colors, you stop at a certain level, you dip it in some food coloring or whatever it is, let it sit for about 12 hours, then you do your next round.
Were you a student-athlete at Ole Miss?
No, I was a student-athlete at St. Edward's down the street off Thompson Lane. So this is grade school. So the fact that we're doing grade school activities in college really goes to show you what the academics
are. It's fair.
Like,
I mean, at least it's a real class, unlike what North Carolina was doing for years, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll talk some SEC baseball later in the show as well. We got 30 minutes left. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the show on this Tuesday, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Ella Langley.
Talk about resets.
There you go.
Good reset right here.
Finishing up the show today, don't forget Vanderbilt baseball coming up in just about an hour here on the station as they take on Kentucky. Andrew Allegretta on the call from Hoover, Alabama. Vandy needs to make a run. As of right now, D1 baseball and most of the projections for the tournament has them as one of the next four outs. So not firmly on the bubble, but in the... 5-8 outside the tournament, which means you've got to make a run in Hoover. I mean, I think the only way to feel safe is to win the whole thing. Now, if you make it to the championship and lose, I think maybe you give yourself some intrigue on Selection Sunday next week. But I'm going to – or it's Saturday, actually, the week after,
the
right?
The week after, I think. Selection.
No, it's Monday. It's Memorial Day. Yeah. That's what it is. I was like, I know we've done a show before
when
during the selection
on.
Show. I was like, was it Saturday? No, it's Memorial Day. So Monday, we will get the bracket. I think Vanderbilt is going to have to probably win the whole thing. But that's something that Tim Corbin teams are good at. Hoover, it's a ballpark that plays to their strengths typically, but the pitching has obviously not been up to the standard of what a typical Vandy boy staff looks like this year. partially due to injuries.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Connor or somebody about this last week. Maybe been Joe. Just the ERA for this team as a whole has not been great. It's like been near 6-7-ish, give or take. The entire like bullpen, including, just not been good for them. But when you can sweep South Carolina to end your regular season going into the SEC tournament, that gives you so much confidence. Like, we're to your point about Tim Corbin's teams kind of producing runs, and yes, the pitching has not been great. Tim Corbin's team in the SEC tournament, that is a different breed. We talked about ABS earlier with Ole Miss. This, to me, bodes well for Vanderbilt. With Tim Corbin always being that coach that always is the next guy ahead of everything else,
yeah.
I think ABS helps him in that regard.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did see somebody made the point that Tennessee might have an advantage if Tony Vitello was able to, impart some wisdom on the team for the ABS, but I don't know.
Would that be tampering?
No, I don't think so. Because, he's in a different league,
that's
right?
True.
Like, obviously, if he was the coach at Arkansas, you wouldn't be able to do that. But him being in the MLB, I think you can reach out and you can ask him, like, hey, do you have any tips for using the ABS, when you should use it, like, who should make the call, catcher, pitcher, all that kind of stuff.
I guess if he was, like, considered a consultant with Tennessee. The reason why I feel like it'd be tampering is because some of those guys that are seniors, or even juniors in this case,
yeah,
the draft.
That's a good point.
Because like, that's what I'd be worried about is, like, if you're going in the draft and you're giving a little point, especially if you're a catcher for the Tennessee, prime example. Let's say San Francisco needs a catcher, and yeah, if you do this, this, and this for ABS, that may help you out in your draft stock. You might drop, maybe go higher. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's far-fetched, but that's where I go with my brain.
Well, Tennessee plays later on today. They are the 10 seed in the tournament. They play South Carolina starting at 3:30 Central Time. Vanderbilt and Kentucky is coming up. 1 o'clock first pitch is the currently scheduled. We'll have to see. I don't know how this Ole Miss-Missouri game is actually going. But yeah, Ole Miss, the first team to win a challenge. Ole Miss is down 8-6 to Missouri right now in the top of the sixth. So might be a little bit of a delayed start, but we'll have to see. With Vanderbilt, I don't think it's all going to come down to this. But since they did sweep South Carolina, that Missouri fog overturned home run might actually come back to bite them, depending how far of a run they make in this tournament.
Yeah, and again, that is the most bogus call on planet Earth when you go back to that Missouri-Vandy game. That ball was gone. Let's be fair. That ball was sent to the moon.
I agree. The TrackMan data, I think, proves that was a home run, but obviously no one saw it go over the fence, or at least no cameras saw it go over the fence, so you'll never know. But
and if it's that foggy, why are you playing? That's the issue I have, is if it's that foggy, why are you playing, and why?
Well, yeah, they had to continue it the next day anyway.
Yeah, so shame.
But who knows how it would have played out if they waited till the next day? Obviously,
momentum was probably gone.
Yeah, you're not throwing the same pitches. Yeah, I don't know. It is one of those things that you'll just never know what would have happened if they had called it a home run. But right now, Vanderbilt on the outside looking in. Tennessee firmly in, projected as a 2 seed and relatively kind of middle of the pack 2 seed. So they're going to be in a good spot heading into the NCAA tournament. Again, they play South Carolina later today. They will play Arkansas if they're able to win that. The winner of the tournament has to go, at least for Vanderbilt and Tennessee, has to go 5 games in 5 days to win the whole thing.
Wow. Are you surprised?
5 games in 6 days. Sorry. Friday's an off day. For either Thursday or Friday would be an off day for them.
Gotcha. Quick one here. Are you surprised with LSU? Drop off?
Yeah. But that's a Jay Johnson thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's there. He's such a transfer oriented coach of, like, sometimes those transfers work, sometimes they don't. Like, last year, he brought in a giant class, and they won the national championship. This year, they just didn't pan out. So, I would say surprised, because they're going to miss the tournament, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume so.
Unless they win the SEC tournament.
Right. Yeah. So, they're out. But the SEC, once again, is in a decent spot to continue their streak. There has not been a non-SEC national champion in college baseball since 2018.
Wow.
When Oregon State did it. Right now, according to D1 Baseball, the SEC would control 6 of the top 10 national seeds, and 7 of the 16 host sites would be SEC schools.
Wow. That is wild.
And they would get a total of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams in?
Yeah. Holy cow.
So 12 of 16.
If hypothetically here, say Vandy and LSU meet in the SEC championship game. Again.
How funny would that be?
That would be a wild story. But Vandy has to go through Florida, Alabama. LSU has to go through Auburn, Texas A&M, and then whatever that semifinal is, whatever
right.
that would be. Would you say both those teams get a bid?
Oh, man, that'd be tough.
Like, is that where we start prioritizing SEC schools over other conferences?
But how hilarious would that be? You've got two-time national champion head coaches squaring off in the SEC championship, and the loser might just miss the NCAA tournament. Like, that's Vanderbilt and LSU facing off.
True definition of winner go home. That is the true definition right there. I love it.
Scott on the text line with a little bit of a bold take here. He says, calling it now, SEC tournament won't be finished due to weather. Going to rain every single day starting tomorrow. I hope not. You know,
don't do that.
Fingers crossed for good weather down there in Hoover. But again, Vanderbilt starts its run. Going to have to make a deep run at the very least, if not win the whole thing, to extend their NCAA tournament streak to 20 straight seasons. First pitch is scheduled for 1 p.m. with pregame at 12:45 right here on 102.5 The Game. Nick Frazier, always a pleasure having you in. Appreciate it. We'll do it next week.
Thank you very much for having me, as always.
Going to be a fun show tomorrow as Corey Curtis rejoins us. I'm hoping no screaming matches with Corey, but we will have to bring up his Michael Jackson Prince take. We won't spend too much time on it. He's gotten enough flack for it from TD and from Joe and from all of that, but excited to have Corey Curtis back in studio tomorrow at 9 a.m. But keep it tuned right here. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. Vanderbilt baseball at 12:45 here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save